Blog Talk Radio.
Do you realize
how blessed
have you
Good morning, everyone. This is Brother Bryant Tansel, and thank you, Sister Danielle, for kicking off our call this morning with that beautiful song. Just awesome. Every time I hear it, I don't know about you guys out there, but it really makes me think about life and give me chills, especially when it says, you know, one of the verses is, you've got a mouth. So I want to thank Sister Danielle this morning, who is chaperoning a high school field trip. We're going to remember her and her prayers. And I am Brother Bryant Tansel. This is our Grace Nurture ministry program, which is sponsored by the Central Church of Christ of Smyrna, Georgia. Brother Willie Bradshaw is the minister. And I actually lead the ministry there at Central Church of Christ. So thank you so much for listening this morning. This is an awesome, awesome program that we have, and we appreciate you tuning in. So our topic this morning is course correction. When I work every week, I think of things that will benefit us as a collective and me personally. And when I talk these things out and, you know, apply it to a spiritual lesson, it's really relevant because you see these things happening every day with professional people, so-called religious people, or at least they say they're, you know, Christians and religious. And sometimes we work with people that maybe they're just not in tune with their faith as deeply as we are. But when you're taking a journey, you have the ability to course correct at any time. You can always stay the course, turn left or right, or even back up. Our faith journey is like driving a car. So building our faith takes discipline, hard work, perseverance, and long suffering. When we mention long suffering, there's some storms that just go on and on and on. And I know you guys get it. You know what I'm talking about out there. But with the faith of a mustard seed, we're in control of our own destiny. We can't be shaken by the winds, the rain, and the toss and turns of life. To make a course correction, you have to be totally committed to God. Totally committed to God. So stay in a positive mindset and posture. Always be looking up and down. Now, I'm a visual learner. I don't know about you, but I was thinking about just the course correction, and I thought about this, these arrows. So if you drew a line on a sheet of paper, similar to a cross, but it's not going to extend, you know, too deep at the bottom. Let's say all of those lines were about the same size, and you drew like an arrow at all four points. So imagine this. If you drew those four arrows, one pointing up, one pointing right, one pointing down, and one pointing left. So generally, when we're talking about moving forward in our faith and our spirituality and making progress, we're talking about the arrow going straight up and the one that's over to the right. That represents moving forward and making progress. Now, if we're looking at the left arrow and the down arrow, that represents regression and going backwards. And I'll put an asterisk by that. Your life is like these arrows. It keeps on spinning. Knowing where the center is, which is God, will help you make the right decision. So we have to inject scriptures that are positive affirmations that move the needle up and forward. We're always climbing. Never quit. Never give up. And never get in. And the asterisk I was speaking about earlier, before we get into a little message here in Matthew, is if the arrow of your life and of your faith is going to the left and the arrow is going down. I mentioned we talk about this, or we speak about it regressing or going backwards. Well, there are some situations where you might need to back out of that or regress or go backwards, because maybe you're in a bad situation. Maybe you put yourself there, or maybe the world or someone else. So generally that could be seen going backwards or regressing can be seen as a negative, but in some cases it could be a positive. Just make sure we're not the one that's sinning that causes us to have to regress and go backwards. And if we do, boy, thank God, isn't there a way to repent of that and don't go back there again? So when we look at Peter, we're talking about course correction. In hindsight, if Peter had a chance to make a course correction, do you think he would have made it? What does it mean to deny Jesus? Let's look at a story of Peter here. Many of us believe we would never deny Jesus, but if you ever had someone you trusted in, believed in, and counted on to let you down, you know how it feels to be on the receiving end. So we look over there at Matthew 26, 68 through 79, and we start at verse 69. It says, "Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto him that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I did not know the man." So the verse continues to go on, and or the scriptures continue to go on, and it says, "And after a while unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which had said unto him, Before the cock crow three times, you'll deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly." You know, Jesus knew Peter was going to deny him three times, and he even told him this. So how do we deny Jesus? We can deny Jesus by this forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. I mean, every time you turn on the TV, you see these people raving fans. People are at the edge of their excitement every time you turn the TV. And I sit here, I don't know about you, I think, why do people not have that much passion about church and about Christ and about faith, their salvation, and the life after this one? Boy, people will hurt you over their sports team. How's another, you know, what's the second way we deny Jesus? Is the giving of our talents. We tend to bury our talents when it comes to church. We don't look for responsibilities to add value to what's happening. Ephesians 2 and 10 tells us, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus into good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We deny Jesus with our giving or our offering. It takes persistence and a commitment to things unseen to fully live out our true faith. Luke 6 and 38 says, "To give, it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye met withal, it shall be measured to you again." So we can make these course corrections in life. Look at those three ways that we can deny Jesus above there that I just spoke about. There are many more ways to deny Jesus, and these were a few. In our daily life, like I mentioned, I counter religious people that don't attend church. People say they believe. They send you a message or call you during the time you're at church because they're not at church, right? And they call you most of the time. So we have to protect this precious time. We have to give God our very best. There's times where you need to establish your own personal connection with the Lord, uninterrupted time. This is the time to be selfish. With the invention of the cell phone, there's many distractions in life. It's time for a course correction. So that's my message today. And with that, I will open or close our call out with a word of prayer. Father, thank you so much for allowing us to course correct and hit that reset button when we realize that maybe we're heading in the wrong direction or headed on the wrong course. We thank you so much for our sister Danielle, who is the chaperone at her high school. We pray that she has a successful day. We know that we pray for all the kids there and all the families represented, and not only at that school, but all of our schools, Lord. The stress put on parents and teachers. Sometimes the teachers are bearing the stress of maybe a broken family at home. And they're without the resources they need to do their jobs effectively. And they're pouring into our young people who are the future. Lord, help make this a better place. Let us help these schools become more successful. I've given them the resources, and that's the leadership. at the county level, the state level, and help our parents who are Christians to walk in their faith and to live it, and not just be a stone, as the Bible says, but be a lively stone. Be active. Be visible. Go to the PTA meetings. Be there for your child. You can always start being a better parent. Doesn't matter what happened in your life. And if you need to have the therapy of the Bible and the Word to help you get to the other side, then go through that. Feel it. Take it in. Live it. We all have setbacks, but we have to keep moving forward. We can't live our lives in the past based upon things that happened to us that we didn't get, we didn't achieve, somebody treated us bad, somebody didn't promote us, denied us an opportunity. Pray about it and move on. Be you. Continue to grow. Get better. Think of the future, not the past. What can the future look like if you changed your mindset and made a course correction and walked in it and believed in it? This is what can make us happy. This is what makes other folks happy that we care about. This is how we are kind to the brotherhood and sisterhood of our churches, and they know they're not in these battles alone. We're all in this together. Father, thank you for this spiritual call, and you always tell us when we extend our hand out to you, you overextend yours to us. May we all have a great weekend. Be safe out there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.